been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?
But I'm better than you.
My eyes are red, out in the back smoking a joint with Van Damme.
You know it.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boy Stevie Jobb.
And it's your boy Dangerous Duke.
And welcome back to the Dangerous Jobbers Podcast, putting wrestling over one podcast at a time.
Yes, sir.
And Fastlane has just happened.
Yeah, it has.
Hell of a show. Small card. We're going to keep it tight. Before we get to all that, we got to go with a cheap plug. Duke, tell them where they can find us.
All right. Well, if you don't know, you won't know, but I'm going to tell you right now, so it's okay. If you guys been here before, you already know the drill. You know all the platforms, all the other social media areas where you can get connected with us. But if this just so happens to be your first episode and you've never been here before, first things first, welcome to the show. Make sure you link up with us on all of our platforms, be it Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just go over there, type Dangerous Jobbers Podcast. You'll find us and our other platforms as well. And you can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts. Anywhere you can listen to music, you'll be able to hear the podcast. And you can also find us on TikTok as well. Last, but certainly not least, make sure you guys go check out DangerousJobbersWebsite.com. You'll be able to check out everything from the previous wrestlers of the pods to the Stevie monthly newsletter, the monthly rundown. Everything that you want to see from the jobbers, you'll be able to find there.
Oh, yeah. All right. Before we get to Fastlane, I just got a few stops to make on AEW. I feel like they've really been cleaning up the show lately. And while I'm not able to watch everything, I'm still not on it as consistently as I would be because there's just so much wrestling to watch. But I'll hand it to them. They've been cleaning it up. Story-wise, they're still kind of all over the place, but they're landing on some solid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
First solid thing I think they might have stumbled upon is this weird Marilyn Monroe rumor that ended up being true, this timeless Toni Storm gimmick that started this week. What did you think of the promo? What did you think of the match? What did you think of this new weird concept kayfabe they're kind of going back to for timeless Toni Storm?
Look, I'm not gonna lie, if anybody could pull a gimmick like this off in 2023, I would say it's Toni Storm. Toni Storm, for the most part, when people have seen her on television, has been I would say underutilized, and yes, underutilized would be the right word. But if anybody in 2023 can pull a gimmick off like this, I would say it's Toni Storm. And I was actually entertained by it. The promo package itself, the match itself, it was oddly hilarious. Obviously, you know, there's some younger fans out there or some, you know, creepier fans that was kind of getting, might have been getting their rocks off to this. But other than that, dude, it was actually entertaining. It really was. Like the whole titty slap thing, the whole smear in the makeup thing, it was entertaining. And the crowd was into it. They were loving it. Taz was having a ball on commentary talking about it. I mean, I feel like if they work this the right way and, you know, in the coming weeks, they do some more video packages or they do some like outfit changes, things of that nature, this could actually be pretty decent. I could see her being a champion with this gimmick, believe it or not.
You know, what's funny is that I agree with you.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's turning into a landscape where the people that, because you get to try anything, you get to really create some attitude era like characters that are like off the beaten path, that are unique, that are risky. It's starting to feel a little closer to Impact, where you just get to try.
Yeah.
Not in quality. Please don't.
No, I was
but
I was
mean like in the way that you can kind of be whatever you want to be within the show. And you kind of get to be this, because a timeless Toni Storm character isn't necessarily something that's current day.
No, it's not. But again, like you said, it's kind of like in a land of impact where you can, I guess, through that phase of impact where people were just throwing stuff at a wall and hoping that it sticks. This one feels like slightly more distinguished in a way of they actually think about it before they throw stuff at the wall. And it's not so much it's management that's doing it, it's the talent. Like if the
Exactly.
talent are coming up with these characters themselves and they sound credible, management might be more willing to actually pull the trigger on it and see what happens. And so far, we're like what, two, we're like a couple weeks in so far. And I really don't have any complaints on it. I feel like they should let more people try it. And if they're having success with Tony this way, who knows? Maybe they'll let more people do it.
Yeah, and speaking of letting more people try things, throwing stuff at the wall and things coming out of nowhere, the new AEW champions, tag team champions, sorry, Ricky Starks, Absolute Ricky Starks, and Big Bill defeat FTR to become the new AEW tag team champions.
Yeah, a shocker to say the least. I don't know how you feel about it, but at least for me, I have two things to say about it. I mean, good for Big Bill because, you know, for somebody who was starting to fall off the path at one point and able to come back and, you know, rebuild himself, not only professionally, but personally, is a great thing. And to see him actually get acknowledged for it is just great for him. So I'm happy for him. But on the flip side of that coin, Ricky Starks as a tag team champion to me seems kind of like a waste because this dude has just put on a banger of a match with Danielson, arguably one of the best matches AEW has had all year. And the rewarder for that or the payoff for that is a tag team title run. That's like, I don't understand the logic there because it doesn't fit into his MO. It doesn't fit into his story whatsoever. That would be like, I don't know. Let's say that'd be like Seth Rollins just having a banger of a match in a singles run, and his reward would be a tag team with, I don't know, Omos. I mean, it's not to compare Big Bill to Omos, but it's just I feel like he could have got a Starks could have got a singles title out of this. But I mean, you know, it's good for Big Bill. I guess Starks gets a title on him, so he's got to be featured on TV more as a champion. Let's see how it goes. But for me, it was just an odd pairing and an odd move, to say the least.
I think you said it all. It's just odd. It's
Yeah,
just odd.
I
And
mean, it's not the worst thing they could have done, but it's
I
definitely
mean,
not the best.
it feels like a good pairing. I just wish you would have ran it by me first.
Yeah,
It's
and it's not like this is sour grapes or anything.
just so
Obviously,
sudden. It's just
yeah.
so
I mean, everybody knows how
left
much of
field,
a
man.
Ricky Starks fan I am, and I have nothing against Big Bill. It's just that's not the pairing I would have come up with. I would have used maybe Big Bill and somebody else. Circle back to the Bucks.
Didn't the Bucks just win a shot at the AEW Tag Team Championships?
I'm not mistaken, I believe so.
So is Ricky Stark, did they just make a tag team to fall to the Bucks?
Hope not. See, now this is weird. It's like I kind of hope they do fall, but I kind of hope they don't.
I kind of hope you didn't just throw a tag team so that you couldn't transfer FTR titles back to the Bucks just to avoid the awkward CM Punk thing again.
Now, if
Or
this is
even to avoid doing another match with FTR because you're out of ideas and you have no other tag teams you want to put in that spot. This is just weird, man. This is
it's
weird.
the tag team to the tag team division certainly is in an odd place for AEW.
Man, and you'd think being ran by a tag team. I don't know. Moving on. to better tag teams and better ran factions and just a better club. I'm talking about Bullet Club Gold. The Bang Bang Gang.
Okay, what's going on? You didn't ask this. I refuse to acknowledge the statement, but what is going on with Bullet Club Gold? Please do tell. Do tell. Come on, just do tell. Here, look, let me get all up close for this.
Somehow they've managed to have the legitimacy of Bullet Club, but like the all the comedy of DX and like the same unison, because calling yourselves the Bang Bang Gang is just the it's like worse than the Acclaims.
Isn't that like gimmick infringement for the 49ers or something? Don't the 49ers use that phrase? Don't they go bang bang Niner gang or something like that?
Yo.
Oh man, but you know, Bullet Club Gold.
Being a bang bang gang, it's wild.
Look, I'm gonna be completely honest.
Oh man, but okay, no, but like Jay White and MJF, let's get to a broader point.
Okay. Go ahead. Get me there.
Bullet Club Gold calls out MJF, Jay White more specifically. And they just kind of run him down. Adam Cole's taking care of Roderick Strong and is getting his surgery. So MJF is just kind of running it on his own, and Bullet Club Gold just kind of rained down on him. So we were just having a conversation about the guns and feeling like management was in a place where it felt like they were almost kind of ashamed of them, like to admit that they were really good and really over. Because they were just kind of in this paradox where everything they were doing was working, but they were never in a place where any of that mattered until right now. Here we are, we find ourselves, with Jay White taking a shot at the king while he's defenseless, really, in probably his most vulnerable state. So, what are your thoughts on the Bang Bang Gang going up against MJF?
Hey, don't back that New York pit bull into a corner, man. He might be rich. He
He's
might
from
be
New York.
all he might be, you know, Burberried out, but that pit bull still got a bite to him. He might just take a bite out of Bullet Club. I
I
no,
don't know, man.
it is gonna be it's gonna be something to see for sure. But I feel like at some point MJF will either just destroy, not destroy, but like handle them on his own, or he will need backup and he'll have some form of backup. But don't back that pit bull in a corner. He gonna bite, and it's gonna be entertaining when he does bite, because he's just gonna bite the head off of half a Bullet Club.
So Jay White was attacked prior to this. Give me your thoughts on two of the speculations. One of them is that it could definitely just be the Kingdom and Roderick Strong in disguise. Yay or nay?
Yeah, well, we're gonna leave it here.
Okay. We have it possibly being the Acclaimed because of the thing on Twitter where, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm trying to figure out how to say it, but
You don't have to say it. I know what it is. Dude, that would be hilarious if it's
wouldn't
the
that be
Acclaimed.
hilarious?
I kind of want it to be the Acclaimed now. Can it please be the acclaimed?
And they just like MJF didn't even, so MJF really didn't even know who did it. It was just the acclaim because he really likes MJF.
I mean, you
It'd
can.
be like a fanboy thing. That would be so crazy.
Dalton Castle and the boys, MJF and the acclaimed. I mean, I would, you know what? Now I really want it to be the acclaimed.
The acclaimed wrapping MJF down to the ring.
Instead
I
of
don't know,
scissor me
man.
daddy ass, it's scissor me daddy Max. This
Yo, all right, let's start fantasy booking.
is, man, yeah,
That
we
would be
gotta.
amazing.
But that, yeah, I kind of want it to be the acclaimed now.
Speaking of tag teams, it seems Edge and Christian are at a impasse, or Adam and Christian. Edge revealed the reason he came to AEW is because, not because they ran out of things to do with WWE, or that he just wanted to do more elsewhere and he had so many more options. It's actually because kayfabe, he sat at home and asked his daughter what to do, and she said he should go have fun with Uncle Jay. And Uncle Jay said, "Go f yourself."
Ooh.
So, yeah,
That's
how do you feel about the Edge and Christian Chronicles?
bring it on. You want to know why? It's something we've never seen in 25 years. It is something we've never seen. Them two have night. I don't think they've ever turned on each other in WWE, at least not that I can remember. If they did, it wasn't memorable.
Just the first time, just the
Like,
very first time when the WCW stuff was going on and they
well,
originally broke up.
yeah, but aside from that, I
But
can't
aside from
remember.
that, they've
Like,
never really.
as they were both established as single stars.
Once they were both established as single stars, no.
Yeah, so I bring it on. I mean, it's something we've never seen. They've always been buddy buddy with each other for the 20 some odd years they've been in the business, close to 30 years, I believe. So yeah, I mean, I'm down for it. I would love to see it. Make it the at their WrestleMania pay-per-view, their WrestleMania-esque pay-per-view, whenever that is. I would be all for it. And make it an Extreme Rules match too. Or like a street fight or some type of non-sanctioned match where they both can attempt a concerto on the other. Bring it on.
Like a last man standing, probably.
Last man standing, I
That way you could
quit.
end it in an epic concerto. I agree with you. I like it because it makes sense.
It does.
Edge is experiencing his first time on the Indies, really. And logically speaking, Christian has been a king on the Indies almost instantly. I mean, his nickname was the Instant Classic.
And not only that,
And
this,
he, yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, this can make for one hell of a story for the both of them. Like they, you can write this like in your sleep and have it be entertaining. Like Christian can be like, you just couldn't stay away. You just couldn't let me do me. There you go again, like you have been our whole careers, trying to take the spotlight away, trying to keep it all for yourself. While you keep me down and push yourself up.
And here's the thing. I see Christian in a Tommaso Ciampa kind of light in this way because,
Yes.
like I said again, it makes sense. Christian has been the best version of Christian on the Indies. He's ruled on the Indies. He does all his best work on the Indies. So for
Yes, you.
Edge to just come in, first off, not choose my side, and then expect me to tag with him because it's his dream. Like, I'm not doing some of the best work of my career. Yeah, buzz off, man. How dare you think you can just come in here and run things again? I got a squad, I got a belt, I got all the credibility in the world. This is my turf. You back off.
Here,
I
I'm the
like it.
A star and you're the B star.
I like it. For once, the tables have turned.
Yep. I'm the main star, you're the role player.
Oh, and before we get to fast lane, I know I'm tossing it to you to fast lane. I just want to say a little bit. Have you seen any of the stuff on Santana and Ortiz?
I have not. I've missed
Oh
out
my gosh.
on the
All right,
news.
guys. The Santana Ortiz story, I'm very interested in. They're taking it very small. So I'm waiting for it to escalate, and then I'll actually probably watch live to see where it goes. Santana Ortiz broke up, right?
Yes.
Ortiz gives this first promo, and it's only been two promos, but both promos have been excellent. I'm gonna send you both of them. But
Sounds good.
in the first promo, Ortiz basically is saying, at All Out, you did what you did to me our whole lives. You used me to get ahead. And then you sure had a lot to say online. You had a lot to say on TV. When I came out to confront you didn't want to talk. You did what you always do. You ran from your problems. He said, cool. You ain't gonna have a lot of time to run left.
Ooh.
And then they were supposed to have a meeting, a face to face. Santana ducked the face to face.
Sounds like fighting words.
Yo, Ortiz was like, I shouldn't even be surprised. This is who you are. This is what you choose to be. So I'm gonna have to come and find you. I'm sorry. Listen, these last two pro I'm gonna send them to you. The last two promos, man. I didn't know Ortiz could talk this well. I didn't know he could make it feel this intense. Santana's the bigger guy, but the way Ortiz be talking, his voice, the way he come across, oh, this guy is good. This is Conan's young boy for real.
Yeah, for real.
Because he talks so well. Like, I was like, yo, I know Santana the bigger dude, but if I was Santana, I feel like he the dude trying to stay off the block. Like, you know what
Yeah,
I'm
for real.
saying? Like, somebody told him, yo, you better not come around here. You know Ortiz looking for you. You better get out of here, son.
Yeah,
You better
this
get
gonna be an
out of here.
entertaining time.
Because I don't know when they're gonna pull the trigger, but at some point Ortiz is gonna get his hands on Santana.
It's gonna be a little battle right there.
So they're gonna have more than words.
Yeah, for real.
And I'm here for it. I'm so here for it. Because I know them together was iconic, but hearing Ortiz talk,
Yeah.
I want to see what they can do.
Facts.
All right, now I'm gonna toss it to you to fast lane. I just wanted to get that little bit off.
Got you. All right. So, for those of you guys who didn't see it, Fastlane was 2 nights ago on Saturday. And you know what? It was a decent show. It was a decent show. There was some stuff for me that was a little eh, but we'll dive into it. We'll discuss it. The first match on the card was, surprisingly, the tag team championship match between the Judgment Day's Finn Balor, Damian Priest, and the newly formed tag team of Cody Rhodes and main event Jey Uso. Now, this was a match going in. I did not expect new champions to be crowned. Pretty sure, like most people did. The match itself, for me, probably the best match of the night. A lot of back and forth. Love the attires that Cody and Jey were wearing. And then, you know, obviously you have your outside interferences with Judgment Day, first Mommy and Dom, and then JD coming in. Lots of back and forth. Someone takes a briefcase to the knee, buckles his knee, the crossroads right across the announce table, which, by the way, that looked like it hurt like hell. Mm-hmm. And then next thing you know, bing, bang, boom, Bob's your uncle. We have new tag team champions in Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. Now,
a lot of people lost money on that one, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about this, but in the Cody Rhodes return to WWE bingo card, I did not have his first championship win being a tag team title with a Uso.
Yeah, I said the exact same thing. I said the exact same thing. I didn't have that on my bingo card.
I don't think any wrestling fan on earth had Cody Rhodes winning his first title back as a tag team title with Jey Uso of all people. If you did, go play the lottery because you got some. You can tell the future.
Man, we'll talk about more about how I feel about this is to the latter part of the pod, but it did come out of left field.
Right.
If there's anything I can say right now, it's definitely that it came out of left field. And I think the biggest takeaway for me from that match, other than how shocking it is that they won, not good, McDonough. Not good, McDonough. Good, McDonough. That was not good.
All that head on that little behind body looking like a Funko Pop.
Bruh, you were paid for that, man.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing. If I wasn't sold during the match that I loved the pairing of these two, I was sold that I love the pairing of these two during the press conference.
That's later. We gotta talk about the press conference later.
Oh, we're gonna save that for the end.
We gotta save it for the end.
Okay,
the press conference might have been one of the best parts of the night.
Okay, so we'll save it for the end.
We'll save it to the end.
Okay. So, obviously, new tag team champions, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, odd pairing, but congratulations nonetheless. Then next, we have another tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
We had the team of, I guess we can call them the Hurt Business. I don't know if they're the Hurt Business yet, but Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar for now.
For now.
For me, this match, everybody felt sluggish. Everybody felt slow. I don't know if there was like delays on their end.
It was a weird. I mean, I don't even think it was a bad match. It just felt
like there was some missed spots.
I think everybody just wanted to know who the partner was. And I think it felt kind of weird in the ring because the crowd felt kind of weird that we didn't get the reveal right away.
Right.
And, you know, it's their first time doing all of this together. You know, like the chemistry wasn't exactly right. And I think we were all just like, who's the guy? Like, who's the, you know, and it just, mm-hmm. the match felt kind of like it was getting away from itself.
Like everybody was more focused on the ramp than they were the match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, it just felt like there were some missed spots. Obviously, I seen Dawkins miss the punch outside the ring or on the apron, rather. Santos and Bobby had a missed spot that I seen in the corner. Mm. And then next thing you know, match goes on. We finally get the reveal, and it's the debut. I know me personally, I've been clamoring for the last 3 months. We finally got Carlito back. And he went on his Instagram and announced it's back full time, SmackDown. It's the move. So my thing is, one, why not just do this in the beginning of the match? It would have made the match seem even more important, with a lot more eyes on the match itself. Two, why did you change the man's theme song? Like when I first heard the theme song, I didn't even know it was Carlito. They're like, "You know what cool is?" I'm like, "Huh?" And then next thing you know, it sounds like Puerto Rican conga music. I'm like, "Huh? Like, this ain't."
I think it's you don't know what cool is.
Well,
But either way.
either way, it's like it just sounded weird. It didn't even look like it fit him. It didn't even look like his like sound like Carlito's music.
You know.
I mean, I get it. He doesn't look like Carlito anymore. The dude's about 20 pounds heavier, stocked like Chris Masters, but still moving like he did 10, 15 years ago. But it felt odd to me. And then to only have him in the match for like 2.5 minutes was even worse. I would have loved to see a full repertoire of Carlito on his first night back.
I feel like they did to him what they did to Shelton Benjamin when they didn't give him the music that they should have gave him.
Yeah, when they brought him back with the
Because what even is that? But I mean, I don't know. I can get used to it. I'm just glad that he's back.
it's gonna take me a little bit to get used to it.
I just don't know what the angle is gonna be now. Because Carlito's back full time. And a lot of the vibe going around was that, you know, when is Santos going to turn all right? But it
Maybe
seems like they're going to go a different way with it now.
it's not going to be Santos.
But maybe now a turn is not coming. Like, you know what I mean? I feel like adding another member sends the vibe that this is going to be a thing for longer. So.
I mean, or
Gonna be interesting.
it could be a way to kick out Ray and
You never know.
have Carlito lead the LWO.
I don't know. I feel like that doesn't do Santos any good, though. You still got a number two to beat. You know what I mean? You're still number two. You don't move up. What's the
Yeah.
point of kicking out the other number one? But I mean, we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it
Yeah,
goes.
we can see where it goes. And then we have a triple threat match that's up next. But before the triple threat match, they showed us what happened during the pre-show of a certain someone pulling up in a vehicle. Very nice vehicle, by the way. Best of the best SUV. Only to have the door be opened and the reveal being none other than Jade Cargill in the building for Fastlane in Indianapolis. Now, my question is during this segment, why reveal Jade Cargill dressed to compete if she's not actually going to compete? Because I seen this and the first thought that came in my mind was, they gonna pull some fuckery and make this triple threat a fatal four way.
It's the fake out, man. She's been faking this out for weeks.
That's honestly what I thought. I was
It's
like, wait,
just a fake out.
I was like, hold on, she dressed to compete. They trying to pull some Hardy Boys WrestleMania stuff here and make it a fatal four way.
Nah.
I was like, poor Io, they gonna do Io dirty. But she didn't compete. We made it to the triple threat of Charlotte, Asuka and Io Sky. Very entertaining match, I'm not gonna lie. Like I was like in tune to this whole match.
It wasn't bad. I think the ladies did a great job. I honestly.
I feel like this was one of the better women's triple threats I've seen of the last few that they did.
I thought this might have been match of the night, personally.
It was up there. It was
Just
definitely
because,
up there.
I mean, they were a little. What do I want to say here? They were light on the aerial attacks. They could have been a little more precise.
Yeah.
But other than that, I feel like they put a very solid match together that was dramatic all the way up until Bayley came out. And then it made you think because Bayley came out, it was going one way and it ended up going another way. It wasn't the story that I thought it was going to be. And I'm not really sure about where the story is going to go now. But I think I'm just satisfied that EO retained and I saw a good match.
Yeah, that's
Oddly
how I
enough.
felt about it. Like
Oddly enough.
I was okay with the detour that the match was taking at a certain point, just because it looked like it was hitting the result that we wanted anyway. So I mean, as long as it gets to the destination, I'm okay with the detour, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, had it been Asuka winning, it would have felt pointless. Had it been Charlotte winning, it'd have felt like, come on again at a fast lane nonetheless. If you want her to break the record at some point, you got to start making her wins mean something and not just at any random pay-per-view. So, bright person won for me, happy with the result. And it shows damage control is more unified than ever, which we all need and love.
Perfectly said.
And then the third tag team match on the card. Good Lord. Three tag team matches on one pay-per-view.
It was the super card.
Yeah, it was the super card of tag teams.
But it was also like the All-Star weekend. Like none of this matters.
Yeah, pretty much. It was All-Star
Except for
break.
maybe that first match, but how did that even happen? You know? But continue.
It was All-Star weekend for WWE, but in an All-Star weekend fashion, you bring out your ace, you bring out your Superman, your face of the league, John Cena, and the hottest rising star in the WWE right now, LA Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Against the bloodline pairing of Triple M, Jimmy Uso, and the Enforcer, Solo Sikoa, with the ever-graying Paul Heyman in their corner. Not for nothing. This match itself, for me, not the best match of the night, but not the worst match of the night. LA Knight definitely showed himself off in this match. He did his thing. There was a spot in the match where it kind of scared me. I'm like, oh, don't drop him, don't drop him. I think it was when he did that. I get scared every time he does that running jump to the turnbuckle.
I think you mess it up one time and it becomes something everyone is afraid to see every time after that.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like,
I remember feeling that way about Seth after he buckled his knee trying to do that float over powerbomb spot with Kane. We saw that gnarly
it's like Joe doing
injury
the
with the
muscle
leg
buster now.
or Joe doing a muscle buster. It's just after you see it one time, it becomes
Or CM Punk doing something off the top
like,
turnbuckle.
I hate that they still let oh my God, Ridge Holland do that over the head suplex. I hate that they still let him do that.
That belly to belly overhead.
Yeah,
Yeah,
oh my
no.
God. But I digress.
But all things considered, match itself was entertaining. For me, the right person won, or the right people won. And on the live stream last night, as we were watching, we came to a realization. This was John Cena's first pay-per-view win since 2017. And who was that last person he beat? Baron Corbin. And I realized also we seen his second to last pay-per-view win live against Rusev in the flag on a pole match. That's how long it's been since John's won on pay-per-view, not counting Saudi events.
That's wild, John.
So it's been what, 5 years?
Yeah,
Almost 6 years?
you can't say, yo, this man is an American hero, though.
Man, it was.
You cannot say that this man is not
It's...
one of the greatest, man. He's even
Uh...
secretly one of the greatest at losing. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? He forever putting people over. We didn't
Yeah.
even realize it.
He putting everybody over,
He
man.
putting everybody over, son.
Well, except Triple M, Jimmy Uso.
Except Jimmy Uso.
But, ain't nobody come to see Jimmy right now.
But he had to do one has to go under for one to go over.
Exactly.
And
Somebody
we
had
chose
to.
LA Knight collectively.
Yes. That was a unanimous decision by the wrestling committee. We all back in LA Knight.
Yeah, and racking up number two in faction L's. Oh, Jimmy.
It's okay. We someone got
Not
to
good,
take the
Jimmy. Not
L, and
good,
it's not
Jimmy.
solo.
Not
Jimmy,
good. It was not about to be solo.
you know what? I just realized I'm gonna give Jimmy Uso some credit because he's doing the people's work right now. We not letting Roman job out. We not letting Solo job out. Jay needs all the love and support right now. Someone got to take L's in the Bloodline family. It's Jimmy, we sorry, but it's you. You don't get the Solo love. You ain't getting the Jay love. You ain't getting the Roman appreciation. You getting your treatment. You gonna be the L taker.
Jimmy Uso looking a lot like Wheeler Yuta.
Oh God. Jimmy Uso is the Wheeler Yuta of the WWE. Damn shame.
Everybody else hard. You?
Just there to be you.
You just
You
there for
just
the
there.
L's. You just there for the L's,
They
son.
run shit here. You just live here.
You just live here.
And
And you
then
barely live here. You still trying to get in for real.
you trying to get back on the lease right now.
For real.
You got taken off the lease and you're trying to get put back on the lease.
Not good. Not good for the bloodline. Not good for the bloodline.
But as the night goes on, we have come to the main event of the evening. Stevie Jobber. This is your boy right here, man. This is you, the visionary, the architect, the brains behind the operation, Seth Rollins. Shinsuke Nakamura, world heavyweight title, last man standing match. Good sir. Give us the rundown. Let me know what you thought of it.
We made good time and we still got to talk about the press conference, so I won't go long. But from my recollection, everything was just about amazing. Shinsuke's music hits. He's in a fantastic garb. I don't even know what you call it, but whatever he was wearing was amazing. It was so him. It was so authentic. It was so, Japan Dome. It was so strong style, It was elegant. It was everything. He looked in his bag. It was a dream. Seth comes out, over the top outfit, amazing. Just on one in his bag, but you can see the tape in the back. He's got the back taped up, and we know what this is about. And I argued last pod that I just don't understand why we can't go with a perfectly good story sometimes. Because I feel like if we create a story that benefits everyone, that the audience can believe thoroughly, I just don't see why we can't go with the story. And I felt very frustrated. Because if you watch this Last Man Standing, excuse me, brutal last man standing match. Shinsuke already coming in with the game plan. I'm going to destroy Seth Rollins' back by any means necessary. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to decimate his back. I'm going to make it impossible for him to get up. And I'm going to walk away world champion. And the story of the match was Shinsuke Nakamura destroying his back, I mean, beating him down bad repeatedly. Seth Rollins is going through tables, off of ladders, barricades, steel chairs. I mean, you name it. Getting double kneed through tables. onto the outside. I mean, Shinsuke did everything to destroy this man's back. He whipped him the entire match. I mean, truthfully, I don't know that besides a few reversals that Seth really got any offense in until the end. So I gotta tell you, I was baffled at the end to see Seth pull off a reversal, curb stomp, Falcon Arrow off of this stand in the crowd into these tables, and to end up, while he hurt himself tremendously doing the move, to get up before Shinsuke at the count of 10 to retain the title. I mean I gotta be honest with you, wrestling logic wise, that wouldn't even work in a video game.
Hey, we got to get creative somehow here, okay?
I mean, if we were going for Rocky, okay. But what? I mean, I felt like that was the only offense he got in the entire match. That cut Nakamura down for 10. One big move. Come on, man.
Sometimes when you get creative, it turns out beneficial. And then other times when you do, it not so much. It kind of just like misses completely. I feel like anyone could have noticed that was gonna be a miss.
And I, you know what I said to myself? I was like, the only way I would be satisfied is if Nakamura got back up and beat the hell out of him again. Because I would not be satisfied. Like, how did, like, I mean, maybe it was a big hit and it was just big enough to stall me for the 10. And then I like just got up at the 11 and it was too late. And I was like watching you walk off. I'd have beat you down again. Like, how dare I beat you within an inch? I won that again for the second time in a row. I destroyed you the entire match and you just got away. I mean, come on, dude.
Maybe they're trying to turn Seth into Big Match John.
And I mean, Seth was doing a great job. I put nothing past Seth. It's just, sometimes I can only just dis I can only
It's the writing.
I can only suspend my disbelief so far.
It's the writing
Like, if
or
you at least you could
the
have at least made
production
it more even if you were going to go with Seth at the end.
or the production.
But I expected something extra to happen. Like, I know they talked Damian Priest out of cashing in because of the state of his knee.
Damn it, JD.
But I felt like something could have happened. I started to feel like all the stuff we talked about should have happened. Like, Randy should have came out of nowhere. Nakamura should have beat him down again. And then Dame should have actually cashed in, even though he said he was leaving. Like, how did he just get away like that? You know? It just was weird. It just was weird. I mean, because, like, why do you keep bringing up his back if he's not going to go away?
I mean, someone's going to take that back out sooner or later.
I don't know.
What's one thing you never turn your back on? A viper. No, let me stop. Let me stop.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it, but only in, you know, we talked about it. He'd have to be working independently.
But I mean, I was going to
Sorry.
say, of all the matches that happened for the pay-per-view itself, before we get into the things that were said on the post show, what grade do you give the pay-per-view?
You know, it's funny. It felt like I was watching it as like a 30-year-old.
Damn near.
Like, you
Like,
mother.
Like someone who's been like
mother.
someone who's been watching it for 20 years.
Because I've been watching it for 20 years. Oh, that's crazy. Why are you making me feel old right now? You're almost as old as me, man.
But
You're
if I'm
almost
embarrassing me, I'm
old.
embarrassing you. And don't you dare say it isn't true.
Oh man, but it felt like such a grandpa-y episode. Like, I'm gonna give it a B minus because it was great. Like, don't get me wrong, it was great, but it felt like the kind of episode I would turn on for like my grandpa and be like, you remember? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I hate that you gave it a B
Because there's
minus and
Dusty
you
Sud
said,
and
I hate that you gave it a B minus and
you
said
remember
you felt
Carlito?
old and you said it felt like an episode you would turn off for your grandpa because I
That's Ric
gave it a
Flair
B
daughter.
minus. Jesus, are we becoming grandpops with this? The jobbers are grandfathers. Holy
Just felt
hell.
like a pay-per-view you put on to like somebody that hasn't watched it in years to make it seem like it's still cool to watch.
This is the pay-per-view you sit great granddaddy down and have him watch.
Oh man.
Like, come here, Paw Paw. Come sit down and come watch this wrestling.
You know some of these people.
Back in your day, he was about 20 pounds lighter, right?
Right. Your grandpa be like, I remember him. He ain't had no beard when he first was here. They brought him back.
Yeah, right.
But on the more entertaining things, man. The press conference, which ended up being a bigger highlight of the night. Let's talk about we wanted to talk about it in the beginning. Let's talk about it now. The first people coming in on the press conference were the new Universal Tag Team Champions, Undisputed Tag Team Champions, Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. And Cody admitted from the beginning that they might have been a little spirited
Couple
before
of
they came up.
libations had been taken in, obviously in celebration. And not for nothing, but I feel like if you and me were to ever become like WWE tag team champions or any kind of tag team champions, and we would have to do a
We'd be
press
doing that at
conference.
like an NXT tag team championship
That would,
conference.
dude, that would have been us at a damn press conference. I ain't gonna lie. You'd have probably tried to been holding it together like Cody, and I probably would have been like Jay.
I'd have been sauce, son. I'd have been sauce.
I'd have been like, man, if I didn't like the pairing during the match, I love them at the press conference.
I think they should open the he should be show opener Jey Uso because I need him to be sauced at the end of every
Dude, you
night
know
for the press
what?
conference. Because him and Cody are
It
like,
was hilarious.
why did the Usos never have this funny of a press conference? I need these two at every press conference together. That needs to be like Shaq and Kobe. That needs to be like
Dude.
Shaq and Penny or Michael and Pippen.
And it was so fucking hilarious because Cody was trying to save it. And then every time Jay would say something goofy, Cody would break. And you would see, like, Cody got a good poker face. I give Cody that. He's got a hell of a poker
But
face.
not when he with the homies.
Yeah, like when he was talking, like Cody was there. And then Jay would say something and it would completely break him. Like,
you could tell some of those times Cody was sauced and
it
he wasn't
was when
holding
he
on to it
broke.
well either. Because
And some of the questions,
he hit
dude.
one of these he hit one of these randomly in the
Ooh. Like you just start barking out of no.
You
That's gonna be my new thing now. If I start getting too saucy and I'm talking to people or I hear somebody talking to somebody, I'm gonna just go.
Yo, that was some of the
My
funniest,
man hit the
funniest stuff in the
DMX
world.
on him. He hit the
And I was like, you know what? Cody's baby mom is black too. He probably like Eminem on the low.
You could tell Cody been to the cookout.
Yo, he got family ties, bro.
Man, he Cody was but feeling it was, a little.
No,
He was feeling a little oozy. He was feeling a little oozy.
I knew he was feeling. I knew he was feeling sauce because he hit one of these randomly during the interview. Not even the wolf, but he hit one of these. One of them. You know, this guy's had a lot of shots because he hit this joint. He was like,
and the dude was like, "You're going to NXT on Tuesday." He's like, "I am, I am. Really?"
Who like, else he gotta is clear, going?
Like he got to clear his damn schedule. Like you ain't commit to this already, son.
Oh man!
And then Jay going, "Sorry, Hunter."
Oh man!
Jay already knew he was saucy. So, my bad, Hunter. Sorry. They and then just funny, to make man. It even they better, the cherry on top, this man, yeah. Knowing his history.
Yeah.
He, at the end of the press conference, you know what? We out, Oos. Let's go. I'm riding with Cody.
I'm riding with Cody.
That's what he said.
Right, because you know your biz.
You know you bench.
Somebody so got to be designated driver, fam.
Said, I'm riding with Cody. Driver. I ain't driving. I'm riding with Cody.
Ain't about to be me tonight. Ain't about to be me he said, tonight.
Been there, done that. We not doing this again on a part two.
Yeah, for real.
Tag team champions
drink responsibly.
Forever.
Drink responsibly. Right? Hunter. You can have that. You can have that go for a minute. I like these two together. Just had them get sauced for every press conference. Because it's better.
You know what you gotta do now?
Oh, man.
Make a shirt, right? You remember that old movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger? I forget the name of the movie. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it's the other big dude, the big husky black dude, and they like interlock their arms, and it's like both of them are husky.
Yeah.
Have a shirt with Cody's arm and Jay's arm interlocked like this.
No, you know what
with,
I
need? With two beers underneath that says libations.
You know what I need? You remember them old school NBA championship shirts that had like the picture and then it had like the year and the championship at the bottom. I need one of them, but the picture is just Jay and Cody at the press conference with all the belts.
Yes.
After they made that local joke and Jay is like, all the way over here. I need that as the picture and just be like Fast Lane 2023. Undisputed tag team champions.
Tag team champions of the universe. I need a friendship like Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso had the night they won the tag team titles.
That was the best.
That will live on in infamy for me forever.
That was one of the greatest press conferences.
Oh man.
Who even came on after that? Cena and LA Knight.
Yeah, Cena and LA Knight, and John mentioned that, you know, he needs to take a step and get back into what he's used to doing as far as being in the ring because he knows his best days are behind him. He touched on how he has more days behind him than he does in front of him, which we all know, obviously, that happens. Is he performing at the level we're used to seeing him? No, but the dude's 46. He's been doing this for 20-some-odd years, man. Everybody slows up eventually. Father Time waits for no man. He catches up to everyone.
He's earned this.
Yeah, and you know what? For as much people that are tired of seeing John Cena on TV, you're going to miss the man when he's gone. You are. Like, everybody's going to miss the man when he's gone.
This man's a national treasure. We're witnessing right now.
Like, he is the GOAT. He is one of the greatest of all time. He's probably at some point going to crack the Ric Flair record. If Randy doesn't get to it first, but if
Charlotte don't get to it first.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the males go, but you know, it's I had nothing wrong with hearing what John said because every bit of it was true, and you know, if this means John takes a step back to get himself back into a better ring shape, he's earned it. He's earned the right to do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to pop back up once every 5 years like The Rock, go ahead, man. Because everything he does when he comes back means something. It's credible. He puts somebody over, or he goes over, but he makes the story go farther. Mm-hmm. Same thing he did this pay-per-view. He went over, But what did he do in the process? He elevated LA Knight. This was like probably the biggest match of LA Knight's career.
Bar
And
none. Bar
what did
none.
he do? He shined. He was the star of the show. John had no problem being the assist man, so LA Knight can get the points. And it was perfect.
And I mean, let's talk about it. Honestly, that match was really just a broad scale. What do they call them? Like group screenings?
Yes.
Like test group.
Yeah, like a test run.
It was like a broad screening test run. It was really just designed to see if LA Knight could remain a star next to
another
some of
star.
The hottest and some of the hottest names in the in the company right now in the bloodline, and one of the biggest stars in John Cena. If he can still shine as the guy everyone is behind, then they can really do something. So I think it was really just more of him being able to deliver.
I'm not going to lie. You know what the pairing kind of felt like?
Mm.
And this was pointed out in one of the wrestling group chats. You remember when John Cena teamed up with The Rock against Miz and R-Truth?
I do remember that.
It kind of felt like that.
Mm.
Like, John this time was The Rock,
mm-hmm.
and LA Knight was John. Just LA Knight isn't as established as John was.
Mm-hmm.
But you still had to see if John could measure up to The Rock.
Yeah, I had to see how they could fare on the same
level. It kind of felt like that to me.
If they both could bring it. EO Bailey, Dakota Kai. I don't think they did anything spectacular in their press conference, but.
No, it was just, you know, damage control's here. We're united. What we all wanted to hear, basically.
I think EO got, I think Bailey got a little shaky on her question, trying to avoid why she was out there when she shouldn't have been. But ultimately, I think she was the veteran. She felt she needed to be out there to help the win. And it.
Yeah. You got to support your team.
It may have backfired at first, but it ended up working out at the end. Because she was the perfect distraction for EO to get that win.
Like we said in the pod, man, the road might have been bumpy, but we got to the destination we needed to reach.
Mm-hmm. Bullet Club is fine. No, I'm kidding.
Fine.
And then, do you care about Hunter's comments on Edge to end the press conference?
No, because it's what we all expected. Edge already touched on it. I mean, it was kind of the same thing. It was just it made sense. It wasn't anything eye-opening or super shocking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of had a feel for it, of what was going to happen and what was going to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter answered everything the right way. I feel like he didn't hide anything behind a curtain. I feel like Hunter was pretty transparent with everything, just like Edge was. Sometimes it's like you can tell when people are feeding you BS.
Mm.
And this didn't feel like they were feeding us BS. It felt like it was genuine on both sides. So, I mean, I don't have any gripes with what was said by Hunter.
Yeah, I agree. There wasn't much to touch on. I think he just told it how it was. And they can clickbait it all they want, but it was pretty cut and dry, man.
Yeah, I feel like ever since this merger now, people are trying to, like, get inside scoops a lot more and dig deeper and trying to get like peel an onion layer back and think, is there really anything else? But for this, there really isn't anything else to it. There's no hidden agendas, dude. It's just, it is what it is. You come to a certain point where you go do other things and both sides are cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're 25 years in and established as these people are, you know, it's not like it's a Jade Cargill.
Yeah. Yeah, so, oh, speaking of which, I liked Cody's comments when they did mention Jade.
Yes. And
it made even more sense why Jade decided to come.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, that's right. She is from Cody's camp, so.
And I all the way respect how Cody acknowledged that he didn't train her directly. Like, yeah, she came from my school. She came from my camp. But I didn't specifically have a hand in training her. That was all QT Marshall and the other lady. I forget the lady's name that he said,
mm-hmm.
but he said that was them. like anybody who takes credit for Jade Cargill is them. Yeah, it's my factory, it's my, you know, camp, but it's not
very
me
noble of
directly.
him not to take all the credit.
Yeah. And I'm sure Jade eventually, when they ask Jade about it, she's still gonna give Cody flowers, but it was very nice and humble of Cody to say, you know, I didn't have a hand in training her much. It was all QT and other people. Which at the end of the day helps out QT Marshall.
Yeah.
More people might want to train with him.
But I think that about wraps it up.
Yep, that does wrap up the AEW news and the Fastlane rundown, guys. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Like I said in the beginning, if you haven't linked up with us, make sure you hit us on all of our platforms, be it Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Make sure you YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts. Make sure you go check out DangerousJobbersWebsite.com. And that's pretty much it for this episode. Make sure you guys stay up. Make sure you guys stay blessed. And as always, stay dangerous.
People have been asking me to be the best in the world. Why, Eddie, why?